Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis. Comment ça va? Ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. It's Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, after a long, long sabbatical away from you, our loyal listeners. We've had one thing after another. We've had travel and travesties. We've had triumphs and trials, and we've had all sorts of challenges and tragedy and everything. But we have been off the air for a few weeks because we've had to take care of all sorts of different things. And we are back on the air. It's fall, and this is indeed Come Now, Don't Sulk. And we are coming to you on Blog Talk Radio, and we are a proud member of the Here Be Monsters studio. And so we are coming to you live. Right now, you are listening to us along with people in all 24 time zones, both hemispheres. We are all over the world right now, and that is so exciting. And I'm here with my wonderful producer and my patroness and my muse, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight? Oh, dear. Okay, well, perhaps we're not podcasting right now. Gwendolyn is not on. So I'm hoping that you're hearing my voice right now. We are brought to you by daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we are also brought to you by listeners just like you. Thank you. Before we get any farther, I want to let you know that you can call in tonight. Our phone number here in the switchboard is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. We have been having some technical difficulties. A couple of weeks, we were unable to broadcast at the very last minute, interestingly. We were set. Everything was in place. The crew was in place. But Blog Talk Radio was having technical difficulties, and so we were not able to get over the airwaves. So we're hoping right now that we are actually being heard by all of you people at home, and I'm going to continue speaking to you in the hopes that we are. Tonight, I posted our ad for the show was, you know, one dose, two doses, multiple doses, booster doses, no doses. Are you on your first, your second, whatever? Is certainly one of the top items in the news right now is, you know, the dosages and whether it's Johnson & Johnson or Pfizer or Moderna or whatever. I don't know at this point, Preparation H and butter. Land O'Lakes butter could have come out with a strange new vaccine. Who knows? But please call in. Our number again is 323-784-9639, and let us know where you stand on the discussion of dosaging and the vaccine and should we get vaccinated, shouldn't we? You've all heard my opinions on this, and every day it seems to be the top item in the news. I'm just going to do a couple of things here. By the way, as you know, listening to our shows, if you're a regular listener, we select different topics, but we also encourage people to call in. So I hope we're going to have our regular callers. And then also I hope that we are going to have new callers in tonight because we welcome all our guests to call in and chat with us about these subjects. So, by the way, it's carte blanche. We can talk about vaccinations, or if you'd like to talk about your latest recipe for chocolate chip cookies, that would be great, too. Is there anything better than chocolate chip cookies in the fall? I especially like the ones with salt. I like the salted chocolate chip. Oh, God, lovely. There was a little place in the village. It was called the Corner Cafe and Bakery, and they made the most delicious, thick chocolate chip cookies with chunks of chocolate, dark chocolate, by the way, and then crusted with sea salt. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was just unbelievable. So if you've got recipes you want to share with us, please call in. because Pamela is our muse of food, especially on our Friday, Fabulous Food Fridays on Facebook. So she is in charge of our recipes, and she would love to hear from you too. I don't quite know what to say. I know that I'll ruffle feathers if I get too cross about the vaccination thing. You know, this whole vaccination thing is so interesting. People, I would find it hard to believe that many Americans who are over 30 have not been, or certainly under 60, who were not vaccinated back in the 50s and 60s against everything. I remember that I didn't get a vaccination on measles, mumps, and chickenpox because they hadn't been invented yet, but I was vaccinated against smallpox and tetanus and diphtheria. And, you know, these were serious, serious vaccinations, and they were life-saving, and polio. And we lived in a time when people could still die from cutting their finger on a rusty nail. You could get tetanus and die in agony. And the tetanus vaccine was considered to be a major miracle. This saved countless people from injuries in their backyards. To die of tetanus poisoning was an appalling way to die. If I'm not mistaken, Henry David Thoreau died of tetanus. He shaved with a razor that was rusty, caught tetanus, and died in agony, and it ruined Henry David Thoreau's life. He adored his brother, and he said that he never, ever forgot how terrible it was to see his brother die in such a horrible circumstance. Vaccines are part of being part of the 20th and now the 21st century. So I really can't understand why people aren't are so against these vaccines. We've gotten so many vaccines now, measles, mumps, German measles, and chickenpox. To think that people would actually resist getting a measles vaccine, a pregnant woman either knowing that she's pregnant or not knowing that she's pregnant is extremely vulnerable to being infected with measles carrying an unborn infant. To be pregnant and to have measles exposed to you is catastrophic. So it just, I don't quite understand what all this resistance is, but you know, on religious, I won't get into that, a religious basis, you know, that's like saying I won't take chemotherapy if I get cancer, or I won't leave a burning building because, you know, I'm interfering with God's plan. I just think this has gone way too far. But one thing I will say is that if people don't want to get vaccinated, and, you know, for their religious reasons or their whatever personal issues, that's fine. Yes, indeed, in this country, you're allowed to be as stupid as you want. But you can't bring your stupidity, in my opinion, into a school and certainly not into a hospital. If you're a medical professional and you have not gotten vaccinated, you have no business being around infants, around pregnant women, around seniors, or around vulnerable people. It's inexcusable to be exposing the vulnerable in a hospital to COVID because you didn't want to get vaccinated. So yeah, you're right. You're allowed to be unvaccinated, but you are not allowed to work in a hospital. It's just inexcusable. And to make this out that we're interfering with your rights as a citizen or as an employee is bullshit. It's ridiculous. You don't have a right to endanger other people with your personal choices. I find it really interesting that people are playing that card. Well, you have no right to fire me just because I don't want to get a vaccine. Well, in a school or in a hospital, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say on that. I'm hearing that we're having a few background noises, things going on, so I'm wondering if we have people trying to click into our podcast. Gwendolyn, were you able to get on the air yet? No, we can't hear her, or I can't hear her.
In 4 months, so, after two doses.
Oh, we just heard a little bit.
You might have, I'm sorry, you might have me here a little bit. Is that me? This is Wayne Johnson.
Oh, Wayne.
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay.
So
you
it was
can
you
hear
clattering
me, okay?
around in the kitchen.
Well, yes, I'm getting myself something to eat, and I just figured out
okay, well,
going to have to be on mute.
Okay, so
well, you know,
you're on the air.
Yeah, well, let me
okay.
Come up with a
well, Wayne,
statement
Wayne,
right
wait
there.
One second. Wayne, you got to hold on 1 second because the home audience
it.
Is probably thinking that this is an episode of Hee Haw and we're doing it all with tin cans and string. So before we go any farther, first of
yes.
all, don't clatter anymore because that was like really strange. It sounded like kitchen sounds, but I wasn't sure. Okay, so you're on. Do we have anyone else? Is Pamela on or Kim? Do we have any other listeners? No. Okay, and Gwendolyn somehow has patched you through. But is not on herself. Okay, that's interesting. That is interesting. So our own producer is not able to get on. How did you get on? You called the number, right?
I called the number and then pressed 1 to be put in the queue. And now Gwen did text me and asked me, you know, to call and see if I can get on. And you know, either she was able to patch me in, or because I went through the procedure on my phone, I instantly went
okay.
in. So I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe
well, on my Facebook board, I just saw Gwendolyn has texted me, which is kind of like out of a murder mystery or something. It's kind of like, oh, someone just dropped a note out of a window, and I found it, and she's being held captive. If you can see this, I simply am not being heard. So our producer is online, and she can hear us, but we cannot hear her. And now she's typing something else. Yes, she said, really? 3 exclamation points. Okay, we can't, and oh, my God. Yep. Gwendolyn, we can't hear you, nor can Wayne, but I can read your copy right now, your text. I want to encourage people to call in. The number again is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639, and you can join the conversation. I'm back with Wayne, who is one of our esteemed board members.
Thank you.
And so what I'm going to ask you is, first of all, do you want to discuss the COVID situation, the latest COVID headlines, or would you like to change the subject?
No. Just continue on because as it would happen, I met with one of the engineers that I work with, the engineering firm I'm with, and they actually have 3 photovoltaic, you know, solar-powered solar cells for generating electricity in the York area of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But they broke off and, you know, going to lunch, and they went to this place, and he's very conscientious. And he normally didn't go inside, but he went inside. He said, you can smell the smoke and stuff, but the sign on the door said, better not walk in here with a mask. You make me look stupid. And they went and sat down. Now, this guy, you know, now here's the real clincher. He is first generation Mexican. His parents came from Mexico, and he's the first generation. This kid
right.
is brilliant. Master's degree in electrical engineering. His master's thesis was on photovoltaic panels, right? And he had an algorithm that improved the efficiency of solar panels. And it was so well done that it was looking to become part of the NEC code, National Electric Code.
Wow.
What his work is done. Now, this, like I said, I did that only as a background to bring this guy in. Well, they got talking about the other engineers, or the others like project managers and stuff, talking about what was on the back door of this place they were eating at. And anyway, when they got done eating, went back there, and there was a sign, we don't allow Mexicans in here.
Oh, my God.
I asked him, I said, what kept you from just going medieval Viking on their ass? And he said, you know, yeah, I said I had to maintain because, you know, when you're out in the field like that, you have to be very professional. And
right.
and this guy is more of a Spanish descent. So looking at him, you wouldn't say that, you know, he wasn't the dark skin, you know, a lettuce picker kind of a looking guy.
Right.
But he's still first generation Mexican, and his children are just gorgeous. They're, I think his son, who's the oldest, first grader and stuff. And to think if someone had called his children that, it's like, you know, the discrimination, the blatant discrimination and stuff on the mindset of these people. And, you know,
well,
can't wear a mask.
I wish he'd taken a photograph of the sign and yeah. then of the location and posted it and then called it into the police. Because, you know something, this is we live in a time when telephones and being able to film, not only photograph, but tape incidents, these meltdowns, these Karen meltdowns in, you know, Starbucks and everything. This is the most powerful tool to crush
exactly.
this kind of stuff out of existence. There is yeah. nothing more powerful than humiliating these people internationally, not locally,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
statewide, mm-hmm. not nationally, internationally. And by the
Beautiful.
Way, it, once you get a photograph like that up and the name of a
yep.
business or you get a film up, that stuff
right.
cannot be – it's very hard to get it down off Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and every. And by the way, if it hits the news, well, then you're
right.
sunk. Because it's gone onto the network news, and there you have, you know, the Today Show. Savannah Guthrie
yeah.
is commenting on it with Hoda Kotb the next morning. This villainy, there's no punishment too severe for this kind of
right.
villainy, and
I
feel mortified for him.
Yeah, and the thing is he and I were both hired at the same time, so we have a kind of another tangibility. With this engineering firm, that you know, hey, we were both hard at the same time. And like I said, this guy, he's in his early 30s, well achieving, right? And to have something like that being subjected to, because as if he were a lesser than the dumbass to put the sign on the door in the first place.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know what to say. The statistics that keep coming out, you've heard me say this before, Wayne, and I've had you laughing about it. I'm so
mm-hmm.
glad that, like, now a year and a half later, Anthony Fauci has finally grown a penis and has actually comfortable getting on the air and openly, first of all, calling Rand Paul a liar. No, you're the liar.
Exactly.
You're the
right.
liar. Calling out people who did not get vaccinated and saying they're to blame. Because they did not get vaccinated, the Delta variant is the mutation and the evolution of the COVID virus is has been around enough to now be
right.
mutating and developing more because we didn't get herd immunity up and
right.
running fast enough. He's calling these people out, and I just wish he had done it back a year ago with Donald Trump when he
right.
stood beside yep. Donald Trump. And listen to all this nonsense. And, you know, there was Doris Burks, you know, in her Hermes scarf, nodding and smiling and sort of
yes.
dithering away.
Right.
And Anthony was sort of trying to be a nice man. There's no room for a nice man in today's world. These issues are too severe and serious. And it's time for people to say, you're a medical worker? Wait a minute. You're a medical worker? And you
mm-hmm.
have a degree in some level, either as a nurse or a doctor or even as a physician's assistant, even as
right.
an LPN, you are working in a hospital and you refuse to get vaccinated, you're fired. And
mm-hmm.
by the way, we're going to put out the word on you to see if we can revoke your license. You have no business working anywhere around vulnerable people. Why do we continue to be Presbyterians? We're all these polite little... Mamie
yeah.
Eisenhower, gloves for lunch and hats with veils on, you know, dithering,
yep.
polite Presbyterians from Buttpoke, Ohio. Call
right.
a spade a spade. You're a jackass. You're either a jackass for not getting vaccinated because you're afraid it's government experimenting on you, and that's one whole group of people, or you're a jackass because you don't want to get vaccinated because you're afraid Nancy Pelosi is injecting you with a computer chip. Whatever it is, you're a jackass and you have no rights. You have no rights.
Well,
you have a right to be taken away to an island is what it is.
You have to, right. And the thing is, and that's, you hit the key right there. It has become a political, if you're for it, I'm against it. And it doesn't matter what it is,
yes.
but in this case here, it happens to be COVID. It was all fake news. It was just the latest Democrat thing, right, to try to get
yeah.
the election from me, right, all that shit. And the
yeah.
thing is, and to hit it home here, I have a sister-in-law who's an operating room nurse who has yet to get it. She's not going to get it. And if they turn her loose, great. She has made that publicly stated at a family gathering. I'm not getting that damn vaccine. Bitch, die.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Harry, die.
It's interesting too, Wayne, and you and Gwendolyn and I have talked about this too, is how both ends of the spectrum in extremism begin to connect together, because you've got the extreme right with Marjorie Taylor Greene, and then you've got the extreme libertarian on the, and it's like they start to be, it's like George Orwell's The End of Animal Farm, where you couldn't tell who the humans and the pigs were at the end, because fascism becomes communism, communism becomes fascism. It's like, so people are using the most extreme arguments of like, this is my libertarian right not to get vaccinated because and then the other people are like, well, Thomas Jefferson said that I could do blah, 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 blah. It's like all of this like extremist stuff. And there's mendacity on both ends of the spectrum. And I, of course, my politics, as everyone knows, are more left than right, certainly. I prefer to call myself more of a progressive than a liberal. I'm more of a progressive, and I believe that there are people both at the top and the bottom who have an appointment with the guillotine. You know, it's like the 1% should be herded away along with the inner city gangs that are shooting 2-year-olds in baby strollers. It's like they're domestic terrorists, and we have economic terrorists at the top of the ladder. So it's just – but it's fascinating how people are using these weird – what was it in 1984 newspeak, or they're using weird mentality philosophical arguments, if they're smart enough, to justify not participating in this whole thing. And then you have people who are illiterate and deserve to be killed with a shovel, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's not capable of, she doesn't know who Nietzsche is. She doesn't know anything. So she's not able to argue things intelligently simply because she's a moo cow. She is an idiot and should be sent, you know, to a pen somewhere on all fours. But you have these other people that are using all of these weird, arcane arguments about, well, this interferes with my right to my free right, you know, as an American citizen. Oh, my God. Part of being a member of a community is that you suspend some of your rights. Ayn Rand wanted a complete free market, but she still had her house fire put out by the fire department. She didn't hire an independent contractor to come and police her property. Socialism is around. It's just that the name socialism scares Americans to death. But in fact, Social Security. There are people, some of the loudest opponents of socialism are collecting the maximum Social Security and denying that it's socialism. It's like, for heaven's sakes.
I'm trying to think who the quote is, but basically the quote is the problem is with stupid people, they don't know they're stupid.
You know,
they aren't
so
smart
true.
Enough to know how stupid they are. And then paraphrasing.
Yeah.
That's the gist of the meaning.
I know. Mark Twain said, never argue with a stupid person. I love that saying. It's one of my favorite sayings, you know.
I think that all goes all the way back to Socrates, too. I think he's quoting Socrates, so... that's just it.
Yeah. Well,
I am 68 years old, right? I remember getting the scourge of polio when I was a child. That was every mother's and father's nightmare, that their child would come down with polio. And I can remember getting the polio shot. I had the scar for many years. And then you came back to the farmhouse, the local farmhouse, and got your sugar cube with the medicine in it as your booster, right? I look forward to that. I wanted a handful of those to take home with me.
Yeah, exactly. Your scar, by the way, you mean on your arm? That's a smallpox vaccine.
Not smallpox.
There's no scar from polio.
Smallpox. You're right. Yeah, the polio.
And
but also
what was interesting, the smallpox vaccine stabbed up. It itched and scabbed, and you were told not to scratch it and knock the scab off. And you were told that you would have a little scar there. And that I remember my grandmother from Boston, who was a martinet and everything, she said, she explained the vaccines to me. And she said, okay, now the smallpox vaccine, you see that scar. Now you're going to have that scar for the rest of your life. And she said, that shows that you've had that vaccine. But it's wonderful that you have that, because if you caught smallpox, your body
and face would be covered with those, and you would be, first of all, you could die. Secondly, you would be in agony because smallpox is one of the most gruesome illnesses to have. And lastly, if you survived it, you would be covered with smallpox scars for the rest of your life, as were famous people in history. There were several famous people that caught smallpox and actually survived miraculously, but they were scarred for life. But I remember that, you know, as these vaccines came out, I remember, you know, my grandmother explaining to me that, you know, this was a miracle and that we had to have this. It's just, again, I don't understand why people are okay with some vaccines but not others, and not understanding that they owe their lives in this civilized first world 20th century and 21st century now to the fact that they got vaccines repeatedly, that there were, you know, a part of being an infant, a child, is getting, you know, whooping cough, all of it. And that these diseases have almost been driven out completely of existence. Not in darkest Africa, not in remote parts of South America where people can still get diseases that we consider to be medieval. I mean, the bubonic plague is almost completely gone. But every once in a while, it resurfaces in some forlorn little place in Bolivia, you know, or in Chad. It's like these diseases are waiting. And it's only because science has been able to eradicate them and protect us. You know, it'd be interesting if the religious right considered science to be a work of God, that in fact, if you want to believe in God and you want to believe in the miracle of religion that and religious miracles, why is man's ability to think and evolve and learn and develop not part of a divine plan? I think that if you want to believe in a religious way of life, you'd think that the miracle is that mankind and womankind continue to evolve and develop and eradicate dangers. Why can't that be part of our religious training? Why can't that be something that we go to church for and pray and say, oh, thank you for the fact that we in no time at all invented not one but three vaccines, three vaccines for a disease that are free of charge, and that were done in 15 minutes. You know, that were, this were discovered in no time. We still haven't cured cancer, but we're able to come up with a COVID vaccine literally overnight. And by the way, not a government, three capitalist organizations developed it separately from each other. It's like, and this isn't a miracle? Oh, my God. The religious right, the fanatics, Marjorie Taylor fucking Greene, should be on all fours genuflecting to whatever God she prays to, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this miracle. But no.
That slapped me in the forehead and holler, ew.
Yeah. I really hope that if there is a reckoning and there is a God at a pearly gates, I hope that God says to these people who come to the pearly gates, you were lecturing people and making their lives miserable about so many things in my name, and I just want you to know that your ingratitude and your thwarting of this vaccine and this miracle is the most incredibly ungodly behavior and is the most incredibly ungrateful behavior. In a religious setting, you should have thanked, you know, the gods above that this happened, and the fact that you resisted this and made it a situation where people were endangered and, by the way, died because they listened to your idiocy, your flat-worlding, that you deserve to burn for what you did on this whole issue. It's ridiculous that children and elderly and compromised people were sick and dying and exposed needlessly. It's inexcusable. So,
and
you know,
to put it in perspective for the listeners out there, we have now surpassed the death toll of the what they call the Spanish flu, which is really nothing more than the swine flu of 1918.
Yep.
And a little side
which my grandparents survived, by the way. My grandparents had friends that died in it, and were exposed to it. And my grandmother told me stories of how she was quarantined in New York. She could not get home to Massachusetts because there were finally state-to-state quarantines where they were not allowing people to go from one state to another for several months.
That's very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, here's a trivia question for you. How did the swine flu, you know, because it came from the pig to the human, that's just like the bat to the humans on this one. How did it get the name swine, Spanish flu? What drove that?
I've heard that, but I can't remember. What was it again?
What it was because there was a war going on, there was a moratorium on broadcasting anything about your death casualties from the swine flu. I'm talking Germany couldn't make public, England couldn't make public, France couldn't make public, United States. The only one that published what was going on of the Spanish flu was Spain, because they were neutral in World War I. Henceforth,
boy, is that unfair.
I'm doing air quotes, the Spanish flu.
Oh my gosh, is that unjust? Yeah.
See,
you know,
we're not
another,
only entertaining, but we're educational too.
Yes. Another piece of trivia, which is very disturbing.
Go ahead.
Is that, so yes, we just surpassed the swine flu epidemic of 1918, 1919. We also, on September 11th, this past September 11th, which was the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks, more people died on this past September 11th than died in the terrorist attacks, in not only in New York, but also in Shanksville and in the Pentagon. So the death toll was higher to COVID on that single day than were lost in the terrorist attacks.
Puts it in perspective, doesn't it, Sybil? Definitely puts it in perspective.
It just astounds me that people are so willfully, you know, it's one thing to be surrounded by ignorant people and to try and cajole and educate and seduce and flatter and whatever you can to get people to realize that the earth is not flat. But when you are dealing with willful mendacity, when you have people say, you know, Thomas Jefferson fought and died, so I can believe that the world is flat if I want to. I have a right to be stupid. I have a right to think the world is flat if I want to. And you can, my gun will help you convince you of that. And Thomas Jefferson told me I could have a bazooka. And I, that level of stupidity is.
Keep going. You know, I love you. I love you
dearly. It just busts the First Amendment. You are so forced. You and I, Gwendolyn, we are forced so much into folding ourselves in the most incredibly painful shapes, and with our heads have to go so far up our asses. We have to dine on our own poop. We're having to do so much to bend our limbs behind our ears and to accommodate this level of grotesque, willful, dangerous stupidity, because we live in a quote-unquote democracy, and that the great experiment of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it's like, oh my God, oh dear God. Mm-hmm. It baffles the mind. And it really makes you wish that Thomas Jefferson was around to see this and see,
well,
you know.
Make sure he'd straighten him out, I think. He said, no, that's not what the mug I'm at.
I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Here's another little tongue-in-cheek, kind of a little joke. You know what the difference between ignorance and apathy is?
Well, what?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Yes, that's a great one.
I love that one. I love that one, right?
That is a good one. I don't care. Oh, that's wonderful. That should be a bumper sticker for all of Arkansas, you know.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's change the subject for a second. Speaking of Arkansas and stupidity, have you happened to tune in to the Monica Lewinsky program?
I have not.
Okay.
Oh, please tell me more. You're having a total disadvantage on this.
I'm not going to say too much. I'm just going to tell you that they're on Netflix or whatever, or USO, or USO, HBO, USO, on HBO. George has been binge-watching tons of limited series programs. So he turns them on, and he watches them. The Monica Lewinsky program is not a pay-per-view, so you can't watch all 12 episodes or whatever it's going to be at once.
Uh-huh.
You have to tune in. They have done the first episode, and what's intriguing about it, Sarah Paulson, by the way, is playing Linda Tripp.
Okay.
So that alone, and she's unrecognizable. She's unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. You would never know what a major actress she is. But this is the killer. It's filmed very beautifully. It's really beautifully filmed, and this is the interesting thing about it. Because it's being done musically, cinematically, cinematographic, editing, all of it is being done the way they did all the President's Men. It's being made into a terrifying thriller, and I'm on the verge of bursting out laughing because I love the fact that these are, quote, factual stories, and which we know no one was assassinated or murdered. No one was found floating face down in a bathtub, you know, or anything. No one gets killed. And yet I will never forget the first time I watched All the President's Men. I sat in the movie theater along with 100 other people.
Mm-hmm.
Terrified. Well, wait a minute, you know how it ends. You know that nobody gets killed. There's no car bombs. But you were just terrified. The suspense was killing. And this is the same thing. They've got you completely suspensed. But then every once in a while, you have to relax and say, wait a minute, nobody dies. Monica Lewinsky doesn't disappear. Linda Tripp hasn't got her feet put in cement and thrown in the Hudson River. It's like, come on. So, but I do encourage you to watch it.
Chesapeake Bay. That's the right.
I do encourage you to watch it because it is intriguing. And characters like Matt Drudge and Linda Tripp. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do have to say, and again, my politics are way left of center.
Right.
Linda Tripp is portrayed as the filthiest piece of butt skank. It's not enough to kill her with a pitchfork. You want to douse her with gasoline. She is literally the worst narcissist, psychopath. She is a user, and it's just shocking. I was hoping they were going to show that she at least was good to her dogs, like Hitler, or you know something. I mean, didn't she love her niece or something? There's got to be someone or something that makes her lovable, and there's nothing. She is just a girl who deserves to be killed, in junior high school. She's the ultimate mean girl, the ultimate mean girl, grown into a dumpy, middle-aged woman. Monica is marginally likable.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton is foolish.
Right.
And it's so heartbreaking that a Rhodes Scholar, or MacArthur Grant, which was it?
Well, he was over in England
both?
I do know the Rhodes Scholar. He was very, very intelligent, and he might have been.
Highly.
But I'm not sure that he was a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah. That someone that intelligent and then was a governor and then was a president, that he thought with his penis. It's like at some point during the day. So in the Oval Office, it never occurred to him that this was 8 years he should go without that stuff and without nonsense. And that if he had not done that, I believe that Al Gore would have been elected and that Hillary Clinton would have been elected. He damaged everyone around him permanently, and they all wore the stain forever.
Yes, I agree with you 100% on that.
But if he had not done that, if he had not done Paula, what's her name, and Monica Lewinsky and whoever else he did, if he had not done that, his presidency would have ended like it would have been a golden age because the deficit thing, all of these things were so positive that he would have absolutely sailed out of there much better than Ronald Reagan. Much better.
Oh, hell yes.
And,
hell yes.
And here we are looking back at Ronald Reagan as this golden president. I am stunned that people think that his presidency was a golden age. It's like, oh, dear God. But Bill Clinton screwed it up all because he wanted some, I'm sorry,
yeah,
bimbo.
Nicky, no,
and by the way, Lewinsky's an adult. People keep saying, well, you know, you blame who do they call up, you know, people that are on the left or on the, they say, you can't be mad at so-and-so about playing around with girls. He played around with, you know, Monica Lewinsky and assaulted her. No, it was all consensual, and she was an adult.
Right.
She was not a minor. Right. This is not Prince Andrew or Jeffrey Epstein, you know, seducing 11-year-olds or whatever. It was none of that. It was a consenting adult who happened to be too stupid to be, you know, in a position like that. She was an idiot as well. And it's just a shame that, you know, that that's how that presidency went. But you should see it because it is interesting to see how they're telling the story. And Matt Drudge, oh, my God. The portrayal of Matt Drudge is hysterical.
Yeah.
It shows him coming into his own there, by the way. He was created by that catastrophe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. A little side note of really personal aspects. A family friend, his name was Eugene Lovell. He was actually got his political science degree at Johns Hopkins, got his law degree from Johns Hopkins. And after practicing law for a little bit, he said he got tired of chasing ambulances, but he stayed with, he was a Republican Party member, active, right? Well, anyway, long story short, he's down in North Carolina, and who was vacationing down there too was Norman Gardner. Now, that name may not ring a bell to anybody, but he was the handler for Ollie North and Noriega and that. He was CIA.
Wow.
And anyway, but when the Iran-Contra thing went down, talking about Reagan and the snafu that happened in him,
right,
which is blatant, right? I mean, we had laws that we would not fund money to the rebels, Contra rebels in Nicaragua. It was illegal.
Right.
So they start selling repair parts and weapons to Iran, who was battling Iraq. They took the profits from that money, and that's how they had the money then to buy weapons to give to the Contra rebels in Nicaragua.
Right.
Well, Ollie North was out of the country, and he landed at what is now Reagan National Airport. Someone walked up to him and handed him a piece of paper. There was a phone number on it. Still had pay phones. He went to a pay phone, called it. And who was on the other end was Casey and Norm Gardner.
Oh, my God.
And this is Lovell's own words, the lawyer for Norm Gardner, who later became the lawyer for Norm Gardner when this all went down.
Right.
And he said, basically, they wanted to get their story straight, right? And he said they were getting their lies together.
Yeah.
And basically the deal was made that Ollie, if you take the fall and protect the president, you'll never have to work another day in your life. Fall on your sword for us. So when Ollie North was standing there in his Marine uniform, looking like a true red, white, and blue Boy Scout testifying before Congress, right, he was lying his ass off.
Yeah.
This is the words from lawyer Eugene Lovell, who was the lawyer for Norman Gardner. And Eugene Lovell will tell you, and he's very proud of this fact, of all of those who were involved, Reagan, Casey, and Ollie North, his man, Norman Gardner, was the only one who wasn't served an indictment. All the others were.
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that, Wayne.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and I did have a letter that was handwritten by Norm Gardner in his office at the CIA. Had Miss Jamaica, you know, in a skimpy bathing suit. And when the door was closed, you could see it, right? He was sitting at his desk, you could see Miss Jamaica.
Right.
And when the door was open, it was up against the wall, so, you know, probably coming in and stuff, they weren't offended by this basically dumb near nude woman. Well, I have that poster that Norm Gardner had in his office, and I did have the letter of Norm Gardner thanking Eugene Lovell for all his services and everything he did for him in that and his aspect of the Iran-Contra affair.
Wow.
I've had to move it. I think the letter has been lost. I still have the poster.
Wow.
So that's kind of stuff I bring to the table here, friend. That's right, listeners. I know shit.
Pamela brings the recipes, and you bring the political dirt.
There you go. That's right.
You're our own deep throat. You're the guy in the trench coat lurking around in a parking garage at 3 in the morning.
That's right. Bravo. Very good analogy. I love it. I'll wear it with
you. Oh, Lord. Oh, my Lord. You know, folks, I just want to say we're on – you're listening right now to Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is on Blog Talk Radio, and it's part of the Here Be Monsters studio. Gwendolyn Holden Berry, our wonderful sponsor and producer, was not able to get on tonight because we're having technical difficulties again with Blog Talk Radio. I hope Gwendolyn gets them ironed out before next week. I want to remind you, our sponsor, as always, is DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Thank you. Do check out their website. They have the most amazing products, and I think they're up to over 500 different fragrances and scents and essential oils, all of it being done by their wonderful panel of chemists led by none other than Gwendolyn Holden Berry, their wonderful products. And treat yourself to something for the fall. It's a great time to be changing your mentality. And Gwendolyn's products expand your sense of smell and your sense of self and your consciousness. So do check out their website tonight if you can, or certainly tomorrow. We are on every Monday night here live, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We're going to set our clocks back soon. And remember, it's spring forward, fall back. My uncle, who was a drunk, used to say he could never remember. He would say, oh, I don't know, is fall forward and spring back? I don't know, because he was usually falling forward after a night of, you know, martinis and beers. So remember, you're going to fall back, spring forward. So we're going to set our clocks back, which means we get an extra hour of sleep that Saturday
That's
night,
right.
Sunday morning. That's exciting. And so that's going to happen, but we will still be 8 p.m. Eastern. That'll be Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. And by the way, I want to say a special hello to South Africa and Australia and to Germany. We have lots of listeners in those places, and they contact
very
us.
Good,
and tell us
very good.
How much they enjoy our programs, and that's lovely. Wayne, while we have a few – well, our show is waning right now.
Right.
What's a good topic for next week? Do you have something you'd like to talk about next week?
Oh, my goodness. Let's keep it light. Well, I'll tell you what, it may be a little bit too early. We might have to do that, but I was thinking the fall equinox, the celebration of the Celtics, and Halloween, the derivative or the origins of it and everything, Samhain.
Did you love Halloween as a child?
Oh, I loved it. It's still today my most favorite holiday of the year. You know, screw Christmas. Oh. Christmas is nice, yeah, yada, yada, yada. But you want to talk about the true spirit of giving kids, child, making them happy, giving them candy. They dress up in little costumes, and they can be whatever they want to be.
Yes.
They could be Spider-Man, Batman, a princess, the Snow Fairy Queen or whatever.
Or right? Neville Chamberlain. An interesting child could be, imagine two children coming as Winston Churchill and Neville Chamberlain and then having a fight on your front yard. Oh, I pay to see that. I give a lot of candy for that.
Get your phone out, folks. We need to record this and post it.
These are Tories and Labor Party, and they're doing I adore Halloween, and I happen to have a collection probably worth thousands of dollars of vintage Halloween decorations and noisemakers. And I love the aesthetic of Halloween, that old orange and black tinware stuff. Yeah. And I'm going to post photographs of my collection this year on Facebook again, because I just have the most wonderful, wonderful Halloween stuff. And it's just some of it's folk art, and it's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love the imagination that goes with Halloween. The one thing that I do think is interesting is, and for Judy Garland fans and Margaret O'Brien fans, is in Meet Me in St. Louis, the movie, the Halloween section of the movie, with the children going out and breaking furniture and burning them in the streets and then going to people's houses and throwing flour in the faces of innocent people answering their doorbells is like kind of like, wow, when I was a child, we didn't cause vandalism. And as a matter of fact, any kind of even soaping someone's windows was considered to be like an act of war. I mean, if you got caught doing that sort of thing, that was something where those parents came to your house and scolded you and your parents. I mean, soaping and toilet paper in trees, that was innocent compared to going up to a door, Mr. Brokoff or Mr. Brockelman, whatever his name was, knocking on the door. He answers the door, says, well, and there's Margaret O'Brien dressed as a deranged hobo taking wet flour and throwing it in his face. Nobody I knew ever set fire to bags of dog poop on a person's front porch. No one ever, ever, ever did that I knew of. And that would have been considered an act of war. But I guess, I don't know, did you know people who did that stuff?
Yeah. Eggs, firecrackers, you know.
You knew people that egged houses.
Oh, yeah.
It was
suburbs of Baltimore, Glen Burnie area. And
John Waters made those movies.
Small majority, right? It was like, you know.
No wonder John Waters made those divine movies. That's the kind of neighborhood.
I'm going to say, by the way, love John Waters. He is Baltimore's proud man. Hairspray, fantastic.
My grandmother was the matriarch of everything, and she would not have had any eggs wasted. Wasting eggs on disfiguring people's paint jobs on their houses would have been out of the question. Windows on cars, no. We were not allowed to do any of those things. It was funny.
Like I said, I mean, I didn't do it, you know, and the majority of the children, you know, my age and stuff, we didn't do it. But there was always that one asshole or two of them, right? And a lot of times they were probably brothers, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because the way I was I was raised in, as I said, a Bostonian family, you know, with a history all the way back to the Mayflower, you know, and Provincetown and everything. And my grandmother insisted not only were we not allowed to egg anyone or soap anyone, no toilet paper, none of those things, but I was required to write elaborate handwritten thank you notes for any Butterfingers that I got. So there you go.
There you go. Well, then you were definitely raised proper. That's right.
So there I was with my Crayola crayons writing thank you notes for various chocolate products.
We're all very proud of you, Sybil. Very proud of you.
Oh, well. So you know what? We're gonna take Wayne's suggestion next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is this weekend that we turn our clocks, right?
Oh, my goodness. You mistook me for a responsible adult.
Well, I'll check. I can't remember.
Whatever my cell phone automatically updates, I'll go with it.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, I'll figure it out when we check.
Sure.
But anyway, it'll be 8 p.m. next week, Eastern whatever time, 7 Central whatever time, and then your corresponding time zone. But we'll discuss fall. We'll discuss all the things that we love about fall.
Go ahead.
Yeah?
The leaves changing, the fall, a little bit of a Christmas in the air, just enough to make you wear a sweater and make you step a little more lively. This is the time of year when I come alive.
Oh, I adore unpacking. And by the way, I wear mostly wool sweaters. So I don't wear a lot of cotton sweaters. I love wool and cashmere sweaters, but I love just Shetland wool. And I don't itch at all. I love unpacking my sweaters in the fall and having just the smell of those sweaters when they come out of the drawers that are, you know, closed up for the spring, summer. It's just over the boxes. When you unpack your fall clothes and it's like, oh, you smell them and they smell wonderful. And it's just that combined with what fall smells like, it's a wonderful season, a wonderful season.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, I want to mention again, daughtersofisis.com. Folks, Gwendolyn makes products which can be used to, you know, spray in your drawers, spray in your closets. You could use them that way and have your clothes for the fall smelling wonderful. I can't wait till Gwendolyn comes on next week and gives us some suggestions for things that are clovey or, you know, the pinesy or those wonderful fragrances that she's got. She's got brilliant fall fragrances. So we will definitely hit her up for her suggestions next week. We're almost out of time. I want to remind you all that you can find Gwendolyn and me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us, you know, on the daughtersofisis.com page, and you can find me on the Sybil Brunchen pages. Brunchen rhymes with luncheon. So go there, and you can also find me on SybilBrunchen.com and SybilSez.com. That's SYBILSEZ.com. And also, we are loading new videos into my YouTube channel, so you can check out the Sybil Brunchen YouTube channel and check out all the new Tourette's that we are sending out for the fall.
I'll definitely follow up on that.
Yep.
Sorry.
Wayne, last thought. Yeah. We've got like 1 minute left. What would you like to say?
Well, I can be found at Minds, M-I-N-D-S, and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
Great.
And a lot of these stories I tell are on there. You know, everyone's the sum of their own life's experiences. I talk about how I had an hour-long one-on-one with Jack Kemp, warning him about embracing this religious fanatic teabaggers and stuff. You know, the Republican Party was, this was back in 2005, was losing its way, and Jack Kemp's exact comments were, it's a good demographics to get whipped up, you know, at election time and stuff, to bring them out and stuff. You know, when it's time to whip up the nut jobs. And I told him, I said, there'll be a time the Republican Party will regret that you're embracing this extremist.
16 years ago, you said that. 16 years ago. You know, it's like repent at leisure. You know, it's just like, you know, you're so, so right. I want to ask you, you were just saying that.
Sure.
The question that the Jack Kemp thing so blew my mind. It short circuited my poor old neurons. I'll think of it next week.
Okay.
That's a wonderful thing. I know what I was going to ask you. Were you on yesterday with Gwendolyn's Sunday show?
No, she had to pass on yesterday's show, and I thought she was going to pass on the show today until she texted me and asked me to come on. And of course, I couldn't have been more happier than a kid at, you know, Christmas Eve. So
yes, well, we've got a few seconds left, but I just want to remind people, and I'm going to let you do it. Tell the home audience about your Sunday show that you do with Gwendolyn regularly on Blog Talk.
Good. It is the Sunday show again on Airbnb Monsters Radio at between 6 and 7, and it's more of the current events. We do get a little more on the political aspects, but and of course, you know, we welcome people to call in and stuff, but and then we also have with us Dr. Ron Feynman. He is a professor at a university in southern Florida down there. He has dual doctorate in political science and history, a true treasure, brilliant of a man, along with Glenn.
And Ron is on every week with you, isn't he?
That's correct. Yes, he is a regular co-host along with me.
Yeah.
With Here Beat Monster, the Sunday show. Yes.
Yep. So there's your triumvirate, folks at home. There's your triumvirate. It's Wayne, Ron, and Gwendolyn. And they're
very
on
good.
Sundays, every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's Eastern time. Check your local listings, because they also, as part of Blog Talk Radio and the Here Be Monsters Network, they go, or the Here Be Monsters Studio, I should say, they go all around the world simultaneously as well. That's the one thing about podcasting, is that you literally are being heard simultaneously by people all around the world. It is a wonderful, wonderful wrinkle in our technological, you know, it's terrific. We are out of time. Wayne, thank you so much.
Pleasure as always, Sybil.
And I will see everyone next week, 8 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio with Come Now, Don't Sulk. Good night, everybody.
Good night.